Farnaz has to leave a bit early, so in the interest of time, I think we'll go ahead and get rolling since we have a quorum. Jeremiah, do you need me to roll call attendance or?
Yes, please. Thanks for your time.
Okay, so Farnaz is
Here.
present. Denise?
Here.
Andrew?
Here.
And I am here. I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I motion to approve the agenda. Denise?
I'll second.
All right, any changes to the agenda? Any concerns? All right, so Denise?
Aye.
Andrew?
Aye.
Farnaz?
Aye.
And Tracy, aye, motion carries. Do we have any presentations from the floor?
We do
Should we
not.
go ahead and introduce Remco? I'm not sure if everyone has met him yet.
Can I do it or?
Yeah, I would love that.
Okay, I'm so happy to welcome Remco Waller. I know Denise Berger also knows Remco well. But Remco was my board president at Manhattan Beach Education Foundation when I worked there. He has an amazing financial mind. His ability to look at a budget and immediately discern the two or three things that are quirky about it and what should be continuing has shocked and awed many, many board meetings in the past. So I'm grateful that you're willing to bring your eye and your mind and your thoughtfulness to this committee, and we look forward to having you here. I don't know if anyone wants to add anything, but thank you, Remco, for being here.
Thanks very much for the very nice words, Farnas. Really looking forward. I've been working also with Tracy and with Bruce and getting a already better and deeper understanding, especially on the specifics of charter schools and the structure and the real estate structure. I think this team have done a great job getting where you are with both the school, but also very robust financials below it, which is fantastic to see. And we had for the last few years already contact, of course, with the new school and the financing for that. So very excited to join and learn still a lot about some of the specifics where you have to be in the like the governance around it to make sure we follow all the rules.
Thank you so much, Remco. And yeah, Remco and I have already been chatting, and he's already bringing so many wonderful thoughts and a lot of time to the table. So thank you, Remco. It's great to have you here. All right. So the financial update from EdTech, Dorothy and Jair are here from EdTech to share with us about year-to-date financials and a little peek into next year financials.
Okay, great. Okay, so first, I'm gonna go over these really quick. These were some proposals that took some time for the details to come out from the January proposal, the governor's initial budget. There's a plan to recollect attendance recovery because chronic absenteeism is an issue across the entire state. But there's I'm not I mean. We'll find out a lot more in like 2 weeks. So this is just to put out there. And then there is some proposed changes to this learning recovery grant that has already been distributed to the schools. And this is just kind of like a recap of what happened of the schools originally had almost 8 billion in funding, and then they took back some money the following fiscal year. And then what the proposal is that everything not spent by the end of, or sorry, by June 30th is going to fall into this new LCAP category where you have to talk about why you're using the money that specific way and what research you're using to justify that spending. So this is all related to that $2 billion lawsuit. I don't know, you probably saw in the news like 2 months ago. So like I know there was confusion of that if that was new money, but this is how they're addressing that $2 billion lawsuit by just being a little bit more restrictive on the money the schools already have. So what happened after the governor's proposal in January? The Legislative Analyst's Office, the LAO, they are suggesting no COLA for next fiscal year, also decreasing the school meals commitment, and delaying that attendance recovery, which was that first slide I talked about. But anyway, we're going to get more info in 2 weeks. The statutory COLA, which came out, I think, yesterday, it's like just over 1% for next year. Normally, that's the minimum COLA for funding, but the state doesn't have to fund it if they don't have the money. But I think like we're kind of waiting. It kind of seems like the state did make up the deficit that had been reported, I don't know, widespread like a few months ago. So anyway, more info to come soon. All right, so we're gonna move to the schools. So this is just a quick snapshot. The last time you saw the schools, this is what their operating income was at. And now this is where they're currently at. And we'll talk about each one individually. So first is Lawndale. And to just orient ourselves to the slide, the gray bars are enrollment, green bars are ADA, and then the purple squares go with the attendance percentage. So here's what we had in the budget, which we, pre-planned, like this is where we want to hit. The P2 is what the ADA actually ended up to be. And this is the most important number for ADA because almost all the funding is based on this, whatever amount is in this green bar.
The
And
average.
that is, yeah, and that is the average for these months 1 through 8. And this is just so you can get an idea of how it kind of looked through these attendance months. And just to remind everyone, these attendance months do not correlate with a specific month. It's kind of confusing, but they're just like kind of chunks of each of like the school calendar and whatever your enrollment attendance and ADA in that 20 days or less, that is what counts as this specific attendance month. So you can see with Lawndale, their P2 ended up to be 454, and this was a drop in just over 5 ADA in their last forecast. And you can see if, like this is our waterfall slide, which shows, the last operating income and either increases to revenue or decreases to expenses, and then the flip of that to get to our current operating income or loss. So for Lawndale, we had some savings in consultants. Also some extra interest revenue, and you'll see this at all the schools where we have a bump in special ed revenue. This is just for higher federal special ed as well as the state mental health money. And also you'll see this adjustment for child nutrition, which is a net adjustment between the child nutrition reimbursements as well as the food service expense. Lawndale did have, a small increase in software expenses. I think all the schools except the high school had a decrease in their federal title funding, which you'll see at all the school, or you'll see this little bar at all the schools. Lawndale had increased expenses in services and other. This was in mainly in marketing, professional development, and student assessment. And then the drop in ADA, which we saw in the last slide, which was the 5 ADA, that was 107,000 in revenue. This increase in expenses for compensation and benefits, which you'll see at all the schools, there was a principal sub that was added on staff at the CMO level. And then for Lawndale, there were some classified staffing changes, mainly in special ed aides.
I
And
think
that's
also,
how.
Dorothy, we had to greatly increase health insurance at this site, if I remember right. Our health insurance has been trending high. Our enrollments in our new program have definitely been different than last year because we're offering these great family benefits and probably because our population is slightly changing. As I recall, we increased health insurance expectations for Longdale in the forecast.
Okay.
When on
Next.
that one, if I may.
Getting asked the attendance, how was the budget an improvement year on year, or did we see a decrease year on year on attendance numbers?
How does this compare? Is this about the
Maybe.
same as last year, like the enrollment?
I was going to say both
Lower a little
enrollment
bit.
and attendance seem to be pretty flat at Lawndale, whereas at some of the other campuses, we started to see improvements. Part of the enrollment issue at Lawndale is possibly bigger than the attendance one. We're finally just now starting to see chronic absenteeism rates drop below the 20% mark. So we're starting to see 19 and 18% this last month. So we're hopeful that this is like a shift in the right direction, but it's a lot of similar trends to last year, and the enrollment issue at Lawndale was the biggest for last for this
Yeah. So the budget, you can
year.
see we set it at 505 because that was the prior year enrollment. But
Dorothy, I'm sure that information is available. I think it would be for me very helpful also the prior year information is available. You can see what the trend is, where we're coming from versus not only the budget, but also
yeah.
prior year.
I'll just share one more thing, Remco, and we absolutely have all that information, but just an important thing for you to be conscious of is that this enrollment trend is very much an anomaly for us, and it's not based on current recruitment efforts. So our current 9th and 10th grades are full. It's our 11th and 12th grades that are under enrolled significantly, and that's because during the first years of COVID, when we had to have the 6 feet distancing, you've been on our campus, it's
Yeah.
tiny, our classrooms are tiny. And so we decided to under enroll slightly. And then with the attrition that naturally happens and the lack of movement in junior and senior year, those two classes are significantly under enrolled while our 9th and 10th grade are looking good and our enrollment for next year is looking great.
Right.
So I just wanted to like explain that while this trend has been going in the wrong direction, the future is bright. It's just we're seeing the lagging effects of prior years.
Okay. What's it like? How many, like 135 you can take in a year? What's the number roughly you can enroll in a
The
year?
class size is 125, but yeah, we generally enroll up to 135 in the before the school year starts. We maintain a wait list. And then we expect an attrition of 8 to 10 students even before the school year starts because families make decisions last minute to go to a different school. That happens regularly. And then we pull from the wait list. And that strategy has worked for us many, many years in a row. During COVID, we decided to under enroll because of the classroom space. And that's why we're seeing this as much as we are.
Great, thanks.
So next we'll talk about middle school Gardena. So you can see they ended up at P2 about 337, which was 2.5 up ADA from their last forecast, which was great. So they had some adjustments to their fundraising, with some expected donations. Their net child nutrition was looking great, adding an extra 36,000. The special ed revenue we talked about, the federal mental health adjustments. Because their ADA went up, that was an extra 21,000 for them. They had also some extra interest revenue. And then some additional spending on books and supplies. This was mainly in computers. And this state drop in state revenue, it's not really them like suddenly losing $75,000. Part of it was because the Learning and Recovery entitlement was less, but also we're spreading that grant and the Arts Music Instructional Discretionary grant across more years. Two further out years. So this is just most of this is mainly because we're moving it to a year that is not this year. Their increase in comp and benefits, this was because of the the additional person at the CML level, that principal, and the health and welfare. For I think Arduino was the biggest one at 85,000 increased expense.
Can what was the di what's the date on all these of the previous forecast?
December, which was the last time we presented.
And I'm sorry, can you say again what the big difference here on comp and ben then between December and now? There's a new role that was added, is that right? And so and that's being allocated to all
The
the schools,
biggest
is that?
difference is the benefits shift.
Yeah, I
The
don't.
role is, I think, $120,000 spread across four campuses. So that's not as significant as the benefits shift because we had basically budgeted to pay for benefits for the same number of individuals who were previously enrolled in the program. But when we made our benefits plan better, more people enrolled. And so the cost was increased.
And that enrollment period happened between the time of this forecast and now.
The
Is that right?
costs began to come in between the time of this forecast and last. So it's we're paying for it as in a slightly different way. Tracy, I'll defer to you on that.
Sorry, can you say the question again?
Well, just it is a variance from whatever was the expectation in December, if I
Right.
understand it right. Yeah.
Yeah,
Okay.
so it's not a once we get a little further into the year, we're typically reporting out on the differential from our last forecast as opposed to differential from budget.
Yeah. That's great. I got it.
Okay.
Sorry,
So
on this
now.
one just one question to understand the chart. No, on the ADA chart, the P2 is an average of all of the is some kind of an average of the bars on the right.
Yes, it's not like a one to one, like month one does not equal month two. It has to do also do with how many days are in that month.
It's
It's a
some kind of a
relevant
weighted
average.
blend of
Yeah.
the number. I see. And in all cases, were below budget. And if I'm reading it right. Oh,
Not
sorry,
this,
no.
no,
I got it. I got it.
not
Budget
right
is
now.
the green.
Yeah, the
Okay.
two middle schools are better than budget.
Yeah,
And
got it.
the two high schools are not.
Yeah, budget assumes some level of non-attendance. Got it.
It does.
Since you guys are new, I'll just add one more thing. So historically, we've budgeted approximately 97% attendance because historically we've had phenomenal attendance. Now we're budgeting 93, 94% and coming in at or slightly below that. So our hope is to gradually get back to 97% attendance. We are definitely like when I say we are at 93, 94 to other charter schools, they're pretty much in awe of us frequently, but that's not good enough for us. So we're still continuing to work on it, but I just wanted to explain that.
Great, helpful, thank you.
So for Inglewood Middle School, they also beat forecast and budget, and it was just over two ADA. So with that, their ADA increase ended up being 44,000. And then they had the adjustments for special ed, slight uptick in SB 740, which is this facilities grant. Decrease in title funding. Their share of the comp and benefits was different than, you know, Gardena. Increased expenses in computers, and then their biggest increase was in substitutes. Let's see. But yeah, but they're just about to be break even. But I mean, this happens like every year. We show it's like, oh, they're, you know, gonna break even. But then because the school's almost always never spend everything in their forecast in terms of expenses. So it ends up looking better. Questions on Inglewood? So the high school in Gardena, their P2 was, just under 313, and this was a drop of four from their forecast. But you can see more than that from the budget. So they had some savings in comp and benefits. They had were going to they had some sped teacher positions that were not filled. Increases to fundraising just to match the actual amounts that have arrived. Their title funding, their federal title funding, special revenue were added. They did have increased expenses for substitutes. This amount in services and other was, I think, like building repairs and instructional consultants. Oh yeah, sorry. And then their ADA, because of that change in ADA, that was 84,000 for them. And this 116,000 drop in state revenue, this is similar to what we did, was it at middle school Gardena, where we're just pushing out the money and spreading it across more years. We're just not using it this year. Any questions on high school Gardena? Okay. Just looking at cash. So we are here. And then, everybody's projected, to remain positive for the rest of this year. So that is, good news, but we're always, making sure since the high school is growing, adding a grade. So the cash is always more challenging for them. Okay, I'm gonna move on to the budgets, which are in process and definitely drafts right now. So we did assume a 0.76 COLA, which is what was included in the governor's proposal. And these are the STRS and PERS, which are the certificated and classified staff retirement benefits that the school has to pay into, although PERS is only at Lawndale. And then you'll also see lower total revenue, which like a significant drop in federal revenue because all of the ESSER money, which all that COVID money will be spent this year. So historically, if you were curious where we are in terms of, oh, a 0.76 COLA, this is, the second lowest, I guess, compared to, COVID when it was zero. So yeah, so this was, I think, it's difficult, I think, for almost all the schools to create balanced budgets. So it's a challenge that is not just, isolated to environmental or anything. Okay, so at Lawndale, you'll see. Okay, so I guess like a general assumption, it's like same consistent enrollment ADA. You can see there's this big drop in federal revenue, which you'll, and that's mainly the ESSER money. The drop in the state revenue, this is like some one-time grant that's ending, the A through G grant that they had. Local revenue, this is just a change in the interest revenue because we're assuming interest rate will be lower next year. And you're going to see at all the schools this big bump in fundraising and grants for donations. And that is like, we're including this extra revenue and we're still looking at, I mean, I know it's a draft, but it's like, it's still looking at an operating loss. And also, all the expenses you can see are projected to be lower. But this is just kind of like where it is right now.
What are in your projections in the budget, what are you assuming for salary cost? Is that same level? Is the step up? How are you budgeting?
Tracy, do you want to be more specific?
Sure. Well, so for most of our staff, we have salary schedules. So this assumes the bumps that are on the salary schedule. It depends on the position and the year in which they are in the salary schedule as to what the bump is, but the average is about 2%. Now, there are definitely some that are a lot higher. In later years, it's lower, like in most salary schedules out there. So yeah, it is in salary schedules for most staff. And then for anyone who's not on a salary schedule, which is primarily the home office staff, it assumes a 0.5% increase, with the exception of a few of us directors who would be 0% at the highest compensation levels.
So thanks, Tracy. So you're not assuming at this stage any salary, underlying salary increases.
We are for those people who are on salary schedules.
Yeah,
Those
but
people
I mean that's the steps, but not if
Right.
the underlying rates are increasing.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So for the middle school Gardena, their assumption is similar enrollment, slightly better ADA compared to this year, and you'll see their drop in federal revenues more than Lawndale, and they're also bumping up their donations, and similarly their expenses are lower, but this is still a work in progress. For Englewood, they had a similar enrollment, but their ADA they pushed up by five. Their federal revenue drop was, even bigger, more than 900,000. And this increase in state revenue, we're using the one-time state grants, the learning recovery money, and the arts, music, instructional materials grant. And then they also are bumping up their private donations. And at the high school in Gardena, this one's a little bit more harder to really compare because they're adding 12th grade. So everything will be increasing. But their federal revenue doesn't really change because they had already used up ESSER prior to this year. And then obviously, because they're adding, more staff, more kids, their expenses would be going up. And then I know their operating income looks high, but this is misleading because of the rent, how we have to handle rent, which I'll talk about on the next slide. So, because of this new accounting treatment for leases, how much normally what we were showing, well, I guess like we were amortized before, we were showing an average expensive rent, but what's a little bit confusing for them is that their rent expense next year that they're going to pay out in cash, is 865,000, but on the income statement we only recognize 489,000. So it ends up looking like we have this bloated higher operating income, which doesn't really m match with the cash that we did actually pay out, and that's a difference of 376. So I know, so just so there's no confusion, like, oh well, this one looks really great, this school is like in great shape compared to the other ones, but it's really because of the accounting treatment. And going forward, because it's going to be such a big difference, especially, I mean, they're the only ones in the situation really. Of the all the schools. So we'll add an extra slide so you can get a better idea of like if we were showing the full rent, what would it look like, even though per GAAP we have to show it this way.
That'll be really helpful, Dorothy. I think having that additional slide. Thank you. I see Denise's hand is up. Denise.
Yeah, can you just scroll through the last four slides really quickly for me?
These ones?
Yes. So
Okay.
fundraising, so the fundraising and grant line, like I noticed it's different, obviously. Can you go to the next slide? And then the next one. So where you say there, like Inglewood is very dependent on getting the 150,000 fundraising and grants, is that because is that an allocation that's done across all the schools by the head office, so to speak, or Does each school set their own fundraising goals? In which case, are they competing against each other?
It's set by the Home Office, and it's based on a projection of what we believe that we'll be able to raise in the coming
Okay.
year, optimistically a little bit, but hopeful. The piece of it that's important to recognize is that all of these budgets assume some level of reductions in force or RIFs already. And so if we did not allocate those fund development dollars here, that would definitely make these budgets even less sustainable than they are. On top of that, we are not going to be fundraising for capital in the way that we have been for the last few years for the build out of ECHS Gardena. We will continue that work, but there, as of right now, it's becoming more financially sustainable there. And we do have two or three prospects that are ready for the next tranche of fund development. So we'll be able to allocate my capacity and primarily Jen Fenton's capacity to fund development for the schools. To be fully transparent, though, it's not going to be as it has been in prior years because a lot of people don't want to fund charter schools as they have in prior years. So we're going to have to get creative. And there have been some federal grants for creative work. So we did get $200,000 per campus for social work for the last 2 years. We're going to keep working in those directions.
Okay, but largely the what is budgeted here is an allocation from you all.
Yes.
Okay.
This is just the timeline of where we are in the process. We're still working. I think most of us are just waiting to see what's in the May revise. And then obviously you'll be approving the budget in June. I had a few slides on the second interim. Is this on the agenda? I know it's on the agenda for the board meeting. But this is just more to talk about, the board and the finance committee, will offer preliminary approval, for the budget and the first interim, the second interim. And the second interim, those are the financials for July through January. And then the next time you'll see, something that you'd have to approve besides the budget or the unaudited actuals, which you'll see in the fall.
And Dorothy, yeah,
And
the
then
second interims are on this agenda to recommend for approval.
okay. And then just some specifics on like how to read the interim, which will be a more detailed presentation actually during the board meeting. Are there any? Was there a question?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, okay. Any other questions?
Thank you so much, Dorothy. That was a lot of content to get through. I think, sorry, let me move back up to the agenda. All right. So, next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the consent items A through D, which are private donations listings, a couple of contracts, the check registers and credit card statements, and the forms 990 and 199.
I'll motion to approve Denise consent item. Sorry. I'll motion to approve the consent items, Denise.
I can second. Tracy. All right, so any discussion on any of these? Any questions?
I've got, yeah, because I'm new. Was there anything in the tax return? Was there anything new in the year versus prior year which needs attention?
Not that I can think of, though, one item of note is that we did recognize the ERC, the Employee Retention Tax Credit.
Yeah.
And so There's a note in every year that there is some sort of potential for an unrecognized tax liability if anything were to change, like just because, we are a nonprofit. So if for some reason we had revenue that, gets determined to be tax eligible or something like that, I think that's why they put that note in every time, for example. But there is this reality that we recognized about $2.5 million in ERC revenue in this year that in theory could be audited. And so I, while that's not a change really, I would say that's the biggest thing I can think of that is unusual in this year.
Yeah. Okay.
Tracy, we have a question from Andrew in the chat.
Question on credit cards. Yeah, we're actually working very
Sorry, Tracy, just to read it out loud.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I see lots of late fees, finance charges, rejected ACH charges. Why so? So right now we're going through a major switchover that we talked about in our last finance committee about trying to implement a new software system that will hopefully fix a lot of these our difficulty with getting the information for the credit cards in a timely manner in order to pay in a timely manner. We have had historically a real difficulty with getting receipts and information from sites in order to verify that the charges are accurate, et cetera. So we've implemented Ramp. We're in the beta stages, but this software program means that the folks who are doing the purchases actually have a card. They are it's very easy for them to upload their backup. The card will get locked if they don't upload their backup and they can't use it. So we're very hopeful that this is going to be better moving forward, but the historical is, still we're right on the precipice, hopefully, of those being gone. But it also there has been some pains with the switchover too. So I think those are the ACH charges. Sadie, do you have anything else you we do have, it's again, it's a new system. So there are occasions where we have errors, basically.
Yeah, so we're in that trial stage of it. Oh, hello, good morning. Sorry. But yeah, we're in the trial stage, and as Tracy said, those late fees are part of that like pain of trying to get and like reconcile kind of by hand our credit card statements. And then the ACH rejection charges, we had an old credit card, I'm sorry, an old bank account that was linked to one of our credit cards, and that caused an issue. So that should be like a one-time issue and shouldn't be happening moving forward, especially with Ramp, because now they're linked to our bank accounts.
Tracy, sorry, one more on the tax returns. We have this change in lease accounting treatment. On the tax side, are we just on the tax returns? Is that based on cash or is it following the new accounting treatment for the tax returns?
Yeah, it's the following the new accounting treatment.
Okay.
Reading an additional
Sorry,
comment
yeah.
from Andrew. He says, understood, thank you. So all of this will hopefully clear up and we'll want to watch it. Yes, absolutely. Okay.
Any other questions? All right, so we have our motion and our second, and I'll go ahead and take the vote for the consent agenda. Denise?
Aye.
Andrew?
Aye.
Farnaz?
Aye.
Tracy? Aye. Motion carries. And we only have one action item today, which is recommend board approval of second interim financial reports for all four of our schools as recommended by the Finance Committee. Do I have a motion to Recommend board approval of the interims.
I motion to approve.
you.
I forget the exact wording. The interim reports
Yeah.
for board approval. Did
Thank
I get that
you. You're great.
I can second this time. Thank you.
Is there any discussion on this, or excuse me, any questions? As Dorothy pointed out in her presentation, these are official financial reports that are submitted to our authorizers and then to the state of California, and the county in the case of Lawndale. And they are our year-to-date actuals from July 2023 through January 2024. I'm starting to get confused on years because of the budget, like budgeting for 24, 25. As well as an updated forecast for our authorizers in the state for conclusion of the year. Any questions? Great. I'll go ahead and take a vote. Denise?
Aye.
Farnaz?
Aye.
Andrew?
Aye.
And Tracy, aye. Motion carries. I think at this time we'll adjourn to closed session. Dorothy and Jair, thank you so much for joining. Farnaz, do you want to weigh in on?
I think so. It's just Tracy, Jeremiah, and the board members at this point. Thank you all so much for being here.
Okay, bye.
Thank
Bye,
you.
thank you.
Really appreciate it.
So, Farnaz, I should also leave.
Oh yes, sorry, Remco. Thank you. We'll hopefully be able to include you in the future.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, so closed session. I want to apologize that I have to leave in 6 minutes.
Oh,
Jeremiah,
sorry.
do
Should we record this or no?
No, we should stop
we
recording.
record, yes, the transition to closed
Oh,
session.
yes. Okay.
Yes. And the vote.
Oh, I need to take a vote to adjourn to closed session. Sorry. Do I have a motion to adjourn to closed session?
I make a motion.
I'll second. Denise,
Aye.
Andrew,
Aye.
Farnaz,
Aye.
Tracy, aye. Motion carries. Okay, so we're going to move back into open session and then go ahead and adjourn our meeting.
There's nothing to report
Oh,
out of
yes,
closed
thank you.
session.
There's nothing to report out from the closed session.
All right, motion to adjourn the meeting.
I will second. Denise,
Aye.
Andrew,
Aye.
Tracy, aye. Motion carries. Thank you all.
Thank you,
Thank
everyone.
you. I know it was a lot. I made it through.
Aye.
Bye. Have a good weekend.
Two.
Thanks.